Hello, friends, and welcome back to this week's episode of I'm Like Anime. My name is George, and with me is...
I am Tony.
And together we form I'm Like Anime, bringing you anime thoughts weekly.
Thrice weekly.
Yeah, currently. We're not beholden to any schedule, but we've been pretty consistent.
Yeah, we'll see. If we continue with the same number of shows we have got now, I think we're probably going to be doing three for the rest of the season. But there's definitely a few that look like they might not be hanging on through the whole season. So
I had some similar thoughts, and we'll see if we get to any of those shows in this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's dive right in. First up, we got a little show called Super Cub.
Yeah, that's not going to be one of those shows.
Yes, I mean, I'm not dropping it either, but I also like to refer to it as this week's episode of Honda Solves Your Crippling Social Anxiety. Yeah. And I mean that sincerely and as a joke, because it's really sticking to that, Koguma's growth, playing out, each episode, and her getting more and more confident, all thanks to her cub.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know, in this episode, I'm trying to think what happened in this episode that would indicate that, because, like, she got the job. I guess she was nervous about just having a job in general.
Yes, she was very, her first day, she was very serious about it, and she gets a summer job using her cub to drive from her high school in her town to a neighboring town's high school, delivering important documents. There and then bringing them back or bringing something back. But when she first goes to that other school, she's like super nervous. And there's a scene that I really liked where, that plays into this journey that she's going on, inward journey, I suppose. But she goes to knock on the faculty office of this strange school she's never been to. And she kind of hesitates and like doesn't knock right away, and then kind of takes a breath and then knocks. And then the lady that's in there, she gives the papers to, and the lady's really nice and like wants to make her tea. And she's like, no, I have a job to do. And she's just very, taking it very seriously, but I don't know, kind of conquering some things along the way, I think.
Yeah.
Little, just they're very, yeah. Like that scene is like such a small thing, but I latched onto it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the same thing with being the owner of a super cub. She's learning more about its care and maintenance as well. Like she learns to change oil, which I know grown men that don't know how to change their own oil.
Very true. Yeah.
Do you know anyone like that, George?
I can change my own oil.
Oh, good.
Actually with my new car or my latest car, I don't know. I've never done it with that, but older cars. Yes.
Oh, okay. You have changed oil in your car in the past.
And I know very little about automotive maintenance, but I've done that. I've changed spark plugs and, a couple other easy things, but that's about it.
So she sort of learns to change the cub's oil because she put so many miles on it now. She's having to change it fairly often. Has a pretty small reservoir, I imagine, so.
Yeah, probably. I was trying to figure out, like, if that job was worth it because they don't reimburse her for fuel or other expenses. I forget, they said what they're paying her, but I forget exactly, but I was just like, it was like $50 per round trip or something like that, or like 5,000 yen.
Is that what it was?
Something like that. I'm like, I guess we don't know how far, unless those are real towns, we could look it up, but.
I think they, maybe they said that, I don't remember.
But anyway, not that important. But she does at the end of the episode, she has like, and I like the way the show's written with this, but like she comments on like her physical, she's gotten out of her town and has done this trip, several times and is like more comfortable. Like it's like her world expanded just a little bit and she's kind of, excited to, broaden her horizons and come out of her shell, like figuratively and literally.
Right. And then we sort of compare that with Reiko, her friend, who at the beginning of the episode, Koguma says she's, getting a job, and Reiko says, "Oh, I'm going somewhere on my cub too." But we don't know where. I don't remember if she asks or if she just doesn't tell her or something.
Yeah.
Or if she hadn't decided yet.
It's interesting the perspective of the show, because it doesn't really, like, Koguma is really our, like, our main perspective. Like, it doesn't necessarily, I don't recall it, like, jumping to anyone. It's just, like, if, even when she's, like, talking to Reiko, who's her friend, she's usually, like, looking down at the ground and not really, you know, being very quiet, not saying much. I don't know. I think she has a long way to go, and I feel like they're putting us in her, you know, her head, like, solely, right?
Yeah.
Because I felt that too with Reiko. It's like, yeah, she's, I don't know. She's kind of like thankful for their friendship, but like isn't actively like in the end of this episode, Reiko calls her and is like, hey, what are you doing? Come over. And it's total like dominating, you know, their relationship. Right. And she's like, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I think she's like happy to have a friend, but doesn't know what to do about that. So it's like,
yeah,
because of that, we don't know a lot about Reiko because she's not really being an active participant. You know, she's kind of, I don't know, seems a little bit stunned and not sure what to do with a friend, you know, like kind of awkward.
Well, I mean, both of them are very unaccustomed to having a friend, I think, you know.
I guess so, yeah. I didn't really got that strong reaction from Reiko, but maybe.
I mean, like at the beginning when Koguma's, you know, saying hi to her or good morning to her, and she just sort of ignores her and is reading her book and stuff, and she's very... She feels very isolated from everyone else in the class. She's more socially well-adjusted in that she, you know, is more capable of talking to people and stuff. But yeah, she seems pretty friendless as well. So
I guess I would agree with that in the sense that she doesn't have any like close, like true friends or, you know, like a real good bond with anyone. But like surface level, there's, you know, people that want to have lunch with her and, you know, she's not like
ignored.
You know, in the same way that Koguma is, because she's not, you know, hasn't been strong enough to even microwave her food, you know, in class.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that scene where there were other people asking her to have lunch with them. And she said, oh, no, I'm having lunch with my friend.
Yeah. And that was the only time that happened. But which is interesting. Has Reiko like... Because she's hanging out with Koguma, is she like isolating herself now from other people in class? Like, we haven't really gotten that at all, but the show seems more lighthearted than something like that would. But it is kind of interesting that they only showed that once, her like having like a different social life, or, you know.
Other than other cub owners and stuff.
Yeah.
Which she seems to know quite a few of.
Yeah. 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 She's very knowledgeable about life in general, that Reiko.
And then I guess the end of the episode, it's the end of the summer, so the job's over for Koguma, and Reiko comes back from her vacation and, as you said, calls her up and says, come over. And it looks like the next episode is going to be about Reiko's vacation or them chatting or something. I forget what the title of the next episode was, but it seemed like it was mostly about them sharing their summer memories or something like that. So
nice.
A lot of them just talking and chatting and being friends and stuff, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe Koguma will have a little bit more to say. I feel a little more comfortable actually talking, and I don't know, make it, you know, I feel like each episode is a little step of growth of her.
A little tiny bit, yeah.
Kind of stepping out and being braver.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think that pretty much does it for Super Cub. Do you have anything else you wanted to add there?
Real quick, we don't have to dwell on it, but I was going to mention a couple weeks ago, I was just appreciating the ending theme, which is a nice song, but they specifically show, like, right when it starts and throughout, like, these hand-drawn cherry blossom buds that haven't bloomed yet. And I don't know. I just think it's, like, it's a very simple show, but I think it's a very, you know, on-point metaphor for Koguma and, you know, where she's at, like, you know, has potential, but hasn't seen the light, so to speak. I don't know. Every time I see it now, I think of that, and I wanted to mention it. But
oh, okay. I remember hearing the ending song, but I can't think of how it goes at all.
Yeah, me neither. So the song itself wasn't a huge standout for me, but I remember it being okay. It's mostly the visuals. Yeah, just that. Because that's the first image of the theme, is these like cherry blossom buds.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't know, something to consider.
All right. Cool. Well, I guess then we can move on to So I'm a Spider, So What, episode 16. So Kumiko has leveled up and gained some new skills, in particular, immortality. After her big fight with all the spiders last time, she, you know, like leveled up, gained a bunch of skills. And one of them is immortality.
Oh,
so now sweet. She's an immortal spider isekai.
That's convenient.
Yeah. And then Administrator D, who I didn't mention before when she showed up before, but she's like the administrator of the world, the like game administrator, basically, okay. I guess. Anyway, she contacts Kumiko by having a cell phone appear near her or something like that. And yeah, so she calls her to reveal some information that we've all suspected for quite a while, but it's nice to have it confirmed. And that is that there's a time difference between what we were seeing of the human world and what we've been seeing of Kumiko. Cause we saw Kumiko born from her egg in like episode one, spider egg.
Yeah.
And then in this episode, Administrator D reveals that several of her other classmates have also been reincarnated. And we knew that a bunch of the humans were reincarnated from the class because they talked about it and stuff. But because she's a spider, she grows faster and advances faster. So all of this stuff that we've seen happen with Kumiko happened really fast. But all the stuff we're seeing with the humans, they're all like 15 or something. So we're basically seeing them 15 years later than what we're seeing of Kumiko.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and it's been hinted at really, really heavily and pretty obviously for quite a while. But, yeah, it's been confirmed through the dialogue of the show, at least.
Okay.
And we, I guess we didn't know for sure that they were actually all from the same class, but it seemed like it. I mean, it wouldn't really make sense.
Yeah, but they have a purpose.
Whereas in the light novel, chapter two, it's, you know, confirmed like almost immediately that they are from the same class. But anyway,
okay.
And yeah, she talks a little bit more about how she ended up there and stuff like that. Anyway, yeah, so Kumiko stuff, she's enjoying a day at the beach, doing some fishing and stuff. That's kind of what she does in this episode. And then Shun and his band of humans, the humans, are trying to escape from the Empire now because of political crap that went on that I didn't really pay attention to because it was boring. But now, yeah, they're trying to escape from the Empire. So it's a little bit more engaging because they're actually doing something instead of just standing around talking about politics, which is pretty much what the human side has been up until now. So the human side's starting to get more interesting. So
well, that's good.
What was the analogy I was going to use? So I could eat like meatloaf every week, right? Like I like meatloaf. So if someone were making you meatloaf every week, and then like for a side you were getting lima beans, and you're just like, ugh, I hate lima beans. Ugh. We've upgraded from lima beans to peas this week.
Oh, so, okay,
you know, it's a step up. It's not corn. But it's, you know, and you know, sometimes you get a little bit less meatloaf. Sometimes you get a little, I don't know. I'm just really here for the meatloaf, but
yes, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
glad that I don't have to eat the lima beans anymore. And I can at least have some peas.
When you can, you know, in this metaphor, you can mix the, you know, the meatloaf can, disguise some of the flavor of the whatever lima beans are.
Yeah, no, I'm not touching the lima beans, man. I like,
okay.
You know, pick
out. You still watched the lima beans.
I mean, I guess if, so in this analogy, on weeks when, you know, the meatloaf's a little bit lighter, there's not as much meatloaf there, then I probably, you know, eat a few lima beans or something like that. I don't know. Actually, I probably just fill up on bread. And bread is me playing games on my cell phone while pretending to watch the show.
Okay, distracted viewing.
Yeah. So,
I see.
You know, those weeks I just kind of filled up on bread. But now we've got peas, and I'm okay with peas. I'll eat some peas. Still not corn, but, you know, it's better than lima beans by a long shot. This analogy has gone way too far.
I like it.
Anyway, so Shun and his people trying to escape from the Empire, they determined that their only way to get to where they're trying to go, which is another kingdom that I forget the name of, is to go through the labyrinth, the cave that that Kumiko was born in, I believe. So they managed to sort of sneak past the Empire and get into the labyrinth. And yeah, like I say, Kumiko is enjoying a day at the beach and doing some fishing and stuff, and they come back to that at the end. And then the demon lord that we've heard about for a while now sort of shows up while she's out fishing. And the last shot we see, it looks like Kumiko has been chopped up into pieces, basically. All of her legs chopped off and everything by an attack from the demon lord.
Hmm.
But as we learned at the beginning of the episode, she's now immortal. So I guess that's a good thing. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, that's kind of...
It was retconned before it even happened.
Yeah. That's kind of what's going on in the world of Kumiko and the humans now. They still haven't intersected them because this is still pretty early on for Kumiko days, which means all of the other classmates who we're seeing 15 years in the future are still infants probably. So yeah, I don't know.
So presumably at some point, yeah, they're going to cross paths.
Yes.
Which means they'll have to be like a time skip for the spider world.
I guess. I don't know how exactly they're going to do it, but yeah.
If she's immortal, then that helps tie up things, right?
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I don't know how exactly they're going to do it, but at some point the stories have to sync up. I don't know when that will be. I don't know if it'll even be
this
season
or something. I don't know. They'll help each other fight their own wars respectively.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, we don't know yet, but yeah, that's So I'm a Spider. I'm still enjoying it. I think I might have actually upgraded it from a 6 to a 7 this week. Just it's been on the verge.
That's the peas. You got the peas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
No carrots, more lima. Carrots give you an 8.
It's more about the lack of lima beans, I think, than it is about the
peas.
Yeah,
well, you know, it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Anyway, and then next up, we're going to do the ONAs and shorts segment. So
rapid fire.
Yeah. On my list, I've got The Way of the House Husband, episode 4. It's still amusing. I actually laughed out loud at one of the bits in this one.
Nice.
I don't remember what it was. I just remember like laughing out loud and saying, I don't think that's happened before with this show. So, you know, still watching it, still amusing. Not great or anything, but it's fine.
Okay.
And then we've got Gloomy, the Naughty Grizzly, episode 4. You watch this, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a minute long, so. Yeah. This episode this week was funny. It's probably my favorite so far, actually. Gloomy Bear is this violent bear that this little boy is as a pet, and he's playing with this, like, supposed to be like a feather for like a cat or something, but it's for a bear, so it has like a fish duct taped on it and like some other, like a lure or something like that. And he's like wakes Gloomy up and is like playing with him until he accidentally bumps him in the nose, and then Gloomy like just destroys him, which happens every episode. He is just severely beaten and abused. But my favorite part was at the end they showed a like Amazon review of that
the
presumably
toy.
The boy wrote, and it was just like 1 star. Like I don't know, the bear murdered me. It was I forget exactly what it said. It was like 4 people found this review helpful.
It was something like the toy won't break before your body does or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He's like would not buy again.
Right.
And then yeah, 4 people found this helpful.
Yeah. My notes only say don't poke the bear. Yeah.
For real. Don't keep a bear as a pet.
Well, right.
Especially in your house.
Yeah. And if you do, don't smack him in the face with a dead fish on a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're going to get what you deserve. All right. Next up, we've got Yasuke. I thought this was a promising start to this. The animation style was more Western style, in my opinion. It wasn't super anime. There was a good amount of like 3D and CG stuff thrown in. It's MAPPA, so I sort of expected more, but maybe it was done on like a lower budget or something. And it's pretty action-y, but the characters are, you know, decently fleshed out, I thought. You know, they all have some story to them, you know, they aren't like super thin. I don't know. And you said you watched this too. So what did you think?
And we're just talking about the first episode.
Just the first.
Because all six are out, right?
Yeah, all six are out.
No, I only watched the first.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just clarifying.
Yeah.
You liked it more than I did. I didn't hate it, but I found it, the art style looked fine to me, but I don't know, something about like the story and just the way everything moved was kind of clunky, I thought. And I had a hard time like relating to any of the characters. They felt pretty flat to me.
Oh, really?
So I may check out another. I don't know. It's kind of on the fence for me at this point, but I was expecting more as well. But clearly I was more disappointed because the creator of this, LaShawn Thomas, I know him from, he's worked on other animations. He's more of an animator, like turn director. He's been on different things, like both American, like the Boondocks and, like, not a major, but he was an animator on that. But then he's also worked on Japanese, you know, anime as well. And he lives in Japan. So I don't know. It's like him teaming up with MAPPA to do this for Netflix. So I don't know. For me, it looked kind of okay. It looked okay. But I just thought the story and everything, even though it's based on like real life people, which I didn't realize about Yasuke.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I looked that up today. But yeah, suppose like Oda Nobunaga.
Well, yeah.
Was like, you know, yeah, famous daimyo. And but I guess Yasuke was brought over by someone as like, you know, presumably the only black person in Japan at the time. And so that's why they have that scene in this episode where like, wow, he speaks Japanese. Like, and he's dirty. But, you know, they don't understand his skin color and all that. So I guess that was like a real, I don't know. That's interesting.
Huh.
But for me, I was like, that didn't really sell me. I don't know. I'll probably check out another, but I was pretty let down by it. But I don't know. Hopefully I'm not being too harsh.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the start, you know, it's just the first episode. So it's hard to say where it's going to go from here or anything. I expect it to become much more action based. Which you might like more, but
it's got to have more than just that. I mean, unless it's really cool, because like the animation like wasn't like super impressive or engaging to me. It was just kind of serviceable and
The animation was
fine.
Was not great.
Yeah. Like some of the 3D stuff, like 3D CG, like kind of took me out of visually of it a little bit. Where it was just like, I don't know, but.
Yeah, a lot of the animation, like the art was good, but the animation a lot of times was pretty poorly done, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it didn't really have that going for it, but yeah, I guess I thought the characters were okay considering it was just sort of the beginning. Like they weren't like, they didn't have like a whole ton of depth or anything like that, but they didn't feel completely flat to me either. So
okay. I don't know.
I guess, and then the next one I was going to talk about is Human Garbage Truck, or actually Human Collection Truck. I had the wrong title on my other sheet. Ningen Kaishusha.
I like Human Garbage Truck more.
That's essentially what it is, though. Like, it's the word means garbage truck, which is why I had it, you know, translated that way, but. It means collection truck, whatever. Anyway, collection truck, garbage collection truck, you know, same thing. But it's for humans. So the basic premise of this is if you have, you know, useless humans that you don't want, you can just, you know, put them on the human collection truck and they'll take them away. And in this one, story-wise, I don't know, it wasn't really that great. The animation style... the animation is a motion comic. Like, it's basically still frames with moving mouths. And that's about it. It's on YouTube. You can go and watch it. It is not, the YouTube subtitles are automatically generated from the audio. And so then you have to use auto translate to translate it because the actual subtitles are hard encoded into the video of it. And so unless you have a way that, you know, maybe you know Japanese, you can just read it. But unless you have a way that you can read the Japanese text off of it and then translate that, you might have a hard time watching or understanding it.
Is it worth doing all that.
I don't think so. honestly, I think even watching it without the subtitles, you would get the idea of what was going on. Mm. And like I say, the story in this first one just wasn't that interesting, really. It's basically about a girl that she was less popular than her sister. So then this human collection truck comes by and says, hey, if you have any unwanted humans, you know, put them on the truck. And, you know, this girl who is the less popular one goes out and says, hey, take my sister. So then they take her sister, but then her sister gets to come back because she wasn't actually unwanted because there were people that wanted her. But in the meantime, she had been setting up, she basically started impersonating her sister because they were twins, I guess, or something. I don't know. Anyway, and then she convinced everyone that she was her sister and that she had died or something, got abducted and died. So then when her sister comes back and says, you know, hey, human disposal truck, why don't you take my sister? Cause no one actually wants her. I got to come back cause everyone wants me. So then they take her, but then everyone thinks she's dead. So there's going to be no one that actually wants her back, I guess. I don't know. It's a lengthy explanation and it really wasn't much better to watch it, I guess.
Well, thanks for saving us the dirty work.
Yeah. It just says not very interesting or good is what I have in my notes. So that pretty much, I should have just said that. Would have summed it up pretty well, I think. Anyway, and that does it for the ONAs and shorts. And then we've got Blue Reflection Ray, episode 4. So with this one, I keep holding out hope that this show will become more than it seems to be or that it is so far. But this week's episode kind of leads me to believe that that's probably never going to happen. It is what it is. It doesn't seem to have the ambition to be any deeper than it is. Anyway.
Spinning its wheels a little bit.
Yeah. It just, it's turning into more of a sort of episodic thing. Basically, in the previous three episodes, there was the girl who got kidnapped and then they fought to protect her feelings and now she's fine. So what do we need to keep the plot going? Obviously for a different girl to get abducted by the red reflectors. And now we're just going to do this episodic thing where every episode some girl gets abducted and they save her and on and on ad nauseum, right?
Yeah. You need something else to flip the script, you know, like, you know, inject some enthusiasm. Like,
yeah, it just seems, it seems like that's where they're going. I'll watch another one and see, I guess. It's not horrible. It's just, it doesn't seem to have the same aspirations for itself that I have for it. Which doesn't mean that it's wrong. I'm sure there's people that like the show. Just, I thought we were going somewhere else.
A bit of a lull this week for you on this one.
Yeah. There's like they sort of confirm that the red reflector that Momo was fighting in the previous episode was in fact Hiyori's sister. They don't say it outright, but it's indicated. So that seemed obvious to me last episode, but yeah, they've sort of confirmed it. At the beginning of this episode, formerly kidnapped girl, whose name I probably put down. Nope, didn't bother. Anyway, the girl who had formerly been kidnapped and who they saved basically decides that she wants to become a reflector now too, and she wants to be friends with Luca and Hiyori. And she's like, she's all fixed now because she no longer cares about her mother's approval, which was the source of the negative feelings that she was having that was causing her to, you know, be targeted by the red reflectors. So because she doesn't care what her mother thinks anymore, she decides she's going to move out of her parents' house and she's going to move into the dorms at the school. But that takes a while. So in the meantime, she's just going to stay with Luca and Hiyori in their dorm and be friends with them.
Sleepover.
Yeah, basically. And then Momo does some exposition stuff where she's like, oh, well, they're talking about like that big attack that drove off the red reflectors in the previous episode when they were fighting to save Kidnap Girl. And Momo's like, oh, that was probably because your feelings synced up. So then the rest of the episode is basically spent with Hiyori and Luca trying to get to know each other better so that they can sink their feelings more. But they're like completely different people. So it's, I don't know. It's pretty fucking boring, actually. Anyway, so then a new girl gets attacked by the red reflectors, like I said, and Luca and Hiyori and Momo fight them off. And then, yeah, strangely at the end, Momo, the older woman who lost the ring in the beginning that Luca found, joins their class at high school because apparently she dropped out 2 years ago and she, you know, didn't finish high school. So when she goes back to high school, even though she's 2 years older, she's in the same grade as them. So now they're all in the same class together. And I don't know.
Convenient.
I'm not sure if I'm going to watch this next week. We'll see how I feel. Like it wasn't really a chore to get through this. It was just incredibly boring. Like, yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that's Blue Reflector Ray. Not really feeling it. I think I did downgrade this one down to a 5 after this week, but I'll let it go for one more episode and see, I guess. Then next up we got those Snow White Notes, episode five on this one.
Yes, which is a show you recently caught up on.
That's right.
Are you current as of now?
Yeah, I am up through episode 5. My first note on here just says, I agree with George's assessment that episode 4 was kind of meh.
Mm.
And I think we already talked about my feelings of the first 3 episodes, right? I was just one episode behind last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, that episode 4 was just kind of meh. It was fine, I guess, but meh.
Yeah, kind of doing what it had to do and not much more, I suppose.
Yeah. And I would say that this episode was kind of along those same lines, actually. I don't find the struggles of any of the characters to be moving in any way. I'm completely emotionally detached from all of them. Don't really care. Like, they just haven't. Yeah. The character that I most identify with or feel like any sort of connection with is the older brother, who is not a big part of the show at all. Like, he's the only one that seems like a real person even to me. I don't know. Yeah, the plot feels contrived and obvious for the most part, but it's not bad. It's just, it's sort of in the middle of a lull, it seems like, and I'm hoping it's going to pick up, but that's where I'm at with this one.
Now, I am as well. Like, I gave last week's episode a 6, and this is still a 6.
It'd be 5s for me on both.
Oh, 5s. I don't know. Like, I like the characters more than you do, but I mean, it's more of a comedic, you know, way, or, you know, the way they interact, surface level. Cause there's really no, like, I mean, the main character, I kind of get what he's going for, but I mainly appreciate like their commitment to the hobby, which is, you know, shamisen playing.
Yeah.
There's another hobby show we'll talk about later this week. But this one, I think, I'm forgiving some of it, even though I don't love the show overall, because it's focusing on the hobby. And my favorite parts are when, like in this episode, he does, ends up doing a duet of sorts with, this other, you know, talented player that he had played for before and, kind of not impressed him and wasn't on his game or whatever.
Yeah.
But the performance they do in this episode, I really liked. It was like one of my favorite parts. It was, I don't know.
The performance
was working for me on a couple different levels, and I liked it.
Yeah, the music is nice, I guess, but at the same time, it's sort of this filler thing that nothing story-wise really happens much. I mean, there's story before it and story after it that's affected by the performance, I guess. So it's not completely unrelated to the story, but it just feels like a big gap of not much happening. But the music was nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it for the music.
I hear you. I feel differently, I guess. The duet of this episode specifically, like, I don't know if they'll commit to this, but to me it ended favorably for me, where, because initially, what's his name? Setsu, our main character, he was just supposed to play for this other more talented, I don't know if he's more talented, but more accomplished. Player that kind of shows up again. I forget his name, but guy with the glasses.
I don't remember any of their names.
But anyway, yeah, you watch a lot of anime. And you just caught up on this one. But anyway,
and I'm emotionally detached from all of the characters, so that's, you know, like if they gave me a reason to remember their names, I might, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Setsu, our main character, starts playing for this other guy, and then he joins in with him, and then it kind of elevates the piece, and at the end of it, Setsu kind of has a revelation about how he approaches, you know, playing, and I mean, the whole point to me is he's trying to find his own sound, and I wrote just with the internal rhyming, at one point he says, a sound not bound to anything, like he's all consumed with playing like his grandfather, and trying to, you know, distinguish himself from that, but also still be passionate about playing. I don't know. So I like that inner struggle, but I do agree without that, there's not much going on. Like everything else is in service of that, which I think in these hobby shows kind of goes that way. But I don't know. I'm hoping they have like somewhere they're actually taking, you know, his relationship to the music and how he plays, like somewhere. I don't know. That's what I'm hoping for, but I agree that it's a lull. I the characters a little more than you do, clearly.
So like in, the only other thing I can think of like a musical anime that I watched was Love Live. And yeah, all of their musical numbers that they did throughout the show, which they did several of them, they were always sort of a high point because it was some sort of payoff for the characters. Like the characters had achieved something to be able to be doing that performance, I guess. So this one being more growth based where, you know, they're playing while they're playing, he's growing as a musician and stuff. I don't know. Didn't have the same impact, I guess, for me, but
it's a different scale for sure. Yeah. Where like you're achieving like critical acclaim or, you know, the success of, you know, hitting it. Or, you know, gaining an audience or whatever versus like, yeah, the more, which I think maybe fits the shamisen more because it's like, it seems like sort of an introspective instrument. I don't know, just the music from it is very, you know.
It's definitely the way they've set it up in this show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's like a, I mean, that's what I kind of like about it. There's a sort of magic and power to it. And I mean, it's kind of an anime trope, but it's like the reaction shots of whatever it is, like a fighting show or like this, a shamisen show where it's like, oh my God, his playing is spirited again, and that note he just rung out. I don't know. They have these specific
commentaries. It's like walking through the rain in mid-March, and then the sun comes up, and like they've got this whole.
Yeah,
I don't know. When I listen to it, it doesn't evoke any of that in me. Mm. So maybe I'm broken. I don't know.
Well, the show is taking you on this. You know, it's definitely, you know, flight of fancy. I don't know. There's some embellishment here, of course, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not, I mean, I don't think we're disagreeing too much. I like it slightly better than you do.
Sounds
at this
like.
Point. But still, it's like, if it starts to not go anywhere after the next couple episodes and starts to just kind of idle, then I-D-L-E. then yeah, I'll be thinking of dropping it. So, I mean, it's you know, I'm really not singing its graces too high, but
yeah,
just
I
slightly.
Mean, between episode 4 and episode 5, that's two shows in a row or two episodes in a row that I would be rating a 5. And usually you get 3 of those.
Okay.
Next week needs to see some improvement for me anyway. Otherwise it's going bye-bye, I think, even though I just added it. It's kind of crazy, but
well, hey,
it,
you got to play it straight.
The first 3 were good, you know, or good enough anyway. So like, yeah, I was happy to get on board with it, but then it's just kind of dropped into this weird place. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes next week. But for this week, that is all that we have to say about anime. Well, not for this week, just for today, because in 2 days we'll have another episode. So if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, go out and drink some Modelo or something, because it's Cinco de Mayo. Throw some lime in your beer. Or if you're underage, go light off illegal fireworks. No, wait, what do kids do on Cinco de Mayo?
I don't know. Kick rocks.
Yeah. Kick rocks, kids. yeah. So happy Cinco de Mayo to, everyone out there who's celebrating that. Have a beer for me or, give me a call and, have a beer with me if you want. You have to have my phone number though, because I'm not giving it to you in here. Anyway, that does it for us. You can find us on all the socials at UmlikeAnime. That's UmlikeAnime. We've had, you know, a few comments on YouTube videos, which seems to be the most popular method of contacting us, whatever episode you're listening to. Go and find that episode's posting on YouTube and just comment on it. If you don't want to do that, you know, there's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of the things, even our website. There's comments open on all of the episodes on our website. So just let us know what you're thinking. Are you watching Mashiro no Oto? Are you enjoying it more than we did? Am I wrong about the characters? Is George wrong about the characters? One of us is certainly wrong about the characters. I would like to settle this and know once and for all which one of us is wrong. I mean, I think I know, but, you know, having a third party verify that George is wrong. I mean, who is wrong would be great.
Yes, right. Perhaps you manga readers out there can chime in.
Anyway, that does it for us today. Thanks for listening. I've been Tony, and he has been George.
Still George. See you guys.